Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Haikil Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hirmat, Managing Director from Haikil Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all of you, and thank you very much for joining us today for our Q3 and 9 month FY23 earnings call. I am Sameer Hirmat, Managing Director, Haikil Limited. On this call, I have with me Anish Swadi, Senior Vice President of Business Transformation, Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Malhotra, our President, Pharmaceutical Business, Vimal Kulshetra, our President, Crop Protection Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investment Relations Advisors. I hope you had the chance to go through our earnings release, investor presentation, and the financial statements for the quarter. These are available on websites of Haikil as well as the stock exchanges. While the energy crisis in Europe's slower growth rates across all sectors internationally and rising inflation continue to cause macro-level geopolitical issues, costs which peaked in 21-22 have steadied as raw material prices have started to decline. While we see marginal benefit of the input prices softening this quarter due to the inventory on hand, they are expected to improve with a lag effect in the upcoming quarters. These elements, along with our proactive actions and the expansion of our supplier base, have helped in the stability of raw material supplies. Both our businesses faced significant challenges during the first half of this fiscal year, but as we had previously indicated, we anticipate an improvement during the second half. On the back of our cost improvement programs and business excellence initiatives that are already producing positive results, coupled with some external factors like input prices softening, we expect a quarter-on-quarter steady improvement. We have had an improvement in performance sequentially and are working towards having a stronger end to the year despite some macro-level volatility caused by global uncertainties. Customers are looking to diversify their supply chain geographically, which continues to offer positive tailwinds for future growth. Margins continue to be impacted as expected and outlined in the previous call due to steep increase in cost of raw materials, solvents, and utilities. Also, the rise in crude oil prices have significantly impacted energy costs. We, however, have seen some prices of some key raw materials softening and expect the trend to continue in the upcoming quarters, thereby marginally improving our margins and profitability. Talking about the numbers for this quarter, we recorded a revenue of 540 crores against 559 crores in the previous quarter. Our revenue for the 9 month period stood at 1,478 crores against 1,440 crores the last year. We have been able to improve EBITDA margins by 130 basis points in quarter three compared to quarter two. This is due to improvement in the product mix and cost improvement initiatives. Haikil's long-term credit rating is maintained at A+ by ICRA. Also, the company has recommended an interim dividend of 30%. Now, I'd like to hand over to our President Pharmaceuticals, Manoj Malhotra, to take us through the performance of the pharmaceutical division. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Sameer. The pharma business recorded revenues of Rs. 292 crores in quarter 3 FY23 versus Rs. 290 crores in quarter 2 FY23. The EBIT of the division stood at Rs. 26 crores, which is a 9% margin in this quarter compared to 3.6% in the previous quarter. The corresponding revenue figures for the 9 month period stood at Rs. 806 crores compared to Rs. 822 crores last year. Our business excellence initiatives have resulted in reduction of costs, which helped in partly absorbing the impact of higher input costs. regarding our business verticals, on the API side, over the year, we have added several new customers and strengthened presence in new geographies such as the Middle East and Latin America. We have a strong development pipeline, and we will launch 3 to 4 new products every year. Our CDMO business continues to receive increased inquiries from existing as well as new customers. Our future pipeline for CDMO business remains robust, with multiple upcoming opportunities being worked on. Our discussion with innovator animal health firms for new opportunities are progressing well. Development of processes for multiple active pharmaceutical ingredients as part of the multi-year animal health project with a leading inventor is on track, and we intend to complete the plant commissioning in Q2 FY24. FY23 has been a year of consolidation. We now find ourselves back on track to chart a new growth trajectory. Q3 FY23 showed improved performance, and this momentum will continue in the next quarter, helping us end the financial year on a strong note. Now, I would like to hand over to our President, Crop Protection, Vimal Kulshrestha, to take us through the performance of the crop protection business.
Thank you, Manoj. Good afternoon, all the participants in this call. The crop business recorded 248 crore revenue in Q3 FY23 versus 269 in Q2 FY23. The EBIT for the division was at 27 crore at 11% margin in Q3 FY23 on the back of higher input cost of raw materials, solvents, energy as against 35 crore in Q2 FY23 at 13% margin. Corresponding revenue figure for the 9-month period stood at 671 crores compared to 619 crore last year. All our plants continue to operate at optimal utilization. Demand for our own products was strong in the domestic market. We are focusing on optimal product mix to improve revenues and margins going forward. Regarding our business verticals, our own product segment, demand for existing products remain intact from our key customers. We are also planning to complete the plant commissioning for our new fungicide by end of FY23 and start revenue accrual early FY24. We will also continue to explore new product opportunities in the business. In CDMO business, it continues to receive new inquiries from existing as well as new customers. We have several new inquiries in the pipeline. Now I would like to hand over to our Senior President of Business Transformation, Anish Swadhi.
Thank you, Vimal and Manoj. With our business heads having talked about their respective businesses, I would like to take you through some of our key priorities for the short term. As you may be aware, over several quarters now, we have been working with a global strategic consultant and have formulated the future strategic direction for the company, from choosing the right products to strategic partners, right technologies for the future, including enhancing our R&D and manufacturing capabilities to stay ahead of the curve. These initiatives being implemented will drive our future growth and profitability. On the cost rationalization front, our business excellence initiatives, including an in-depth capital efficiency program, have started yielding positive results. We continue to work on improving our yields and solvent recoveries, including backward integration and a shift to renewable energy and biomass. Our animal health business continues to be on track. Our deep relationships with global innovators to be a partner of choice in this space, based on our capabilities in handling complex chemistries and providing end-to-end support in developing processes for complex molecules and scale-up requirements, positions us on a very strong footing. The progress on our multi-year contract is going ahead as per plan. It is a diversified contract with multiple products in a multi-purpose asset, which is expected to come on stream in Q2 of FY24. ESG is a pillar of our new strategic direction. While we have been active in the space of using clean, renewable energy, we have also embarked on a journey to create a positive environmental footprint all the way from development to manufacturing operations. Heikel has made significant investments to facilitate this shift across all our sites. We are jointly working with our international partner to map out our baseline practices and define a roadmap for achieving our ESG ambition of decarbonization, waste and water management. In the forthcoming year, you will hear from us about a lot more initiatives that we launch to fast-track our journey towards leadership and sustainability. With this, we will now open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, if you look at our gross margins, you know, there has been a significant improvement in our gross margins on a quarter-on-quarter basis. But, you know, higher employee costs and increase in other expenses have not resulted in translation to higher EBITDA margins. So if you can talk about what was the reason for that, and apart from that, our finance costs and depreciations depreciation has also increased during the quarter. So if you can talk about that.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. You were not very clear. Can you please repeat the question? It was not very audible.
Sure. I was asking about, you know, we have seen a sequential improvement in our gross margins by almost more than, you know, 400 basis points. But, you know, our EBITDA margins have not improved that much, primarily because of higher employee expenses and other expenses. So what was the reason for that? And finance costs has also increased during the quarter. So if you can talk about the reasons for the same.
Yeah, I think the fixed cost, if you look at the personnel cost, we have done a lot of recruitments for the new plants that we're commissioning in the next couple of quarters. So that those people have already been recruited because there's a lag for commissioning and training of those employees. And we've had some recruitments in that. Due to that, the personnel cost has gone up. On the finance cost, our debt has gone up marginally to fund this CapEx. And there's also been an increase in the interest rates compared to the last year same period. So these are the two increases that we've had. But this is just a one quarter type of impact. I think from an annualized basis, we had planned for this. And you know, once the new plants start delivering results from next year, this will even itself out.
Sure. And you know, on the capex front, you know, how much capex have we spent on the new agrochemical plant and the new veterinary API plant, and how much asset turns can we expect from both these plants?
I'm not giving the exact breakup of the two, but you know, as I said last year, last call, we're doing about 300 crores of capex this year. And the asset turns that we're anticipating is between 1.4 to 1.5 at full utilization, at peak utilization, which should be after a couple of years.
Sure, because, you know, if we look at Sameer, last year also we did almost, you know, 280 crore of capex, 270 to 80 crore of capex, which actually because of, you know, the industry and the challenges we had to face over the past three, four quarters, we haven't seen a subsequent increase in the top line. So if you look at 300 crore of capex this year and almost 270 crore of capex last year, so we have almost spent 570 crore of capex in the past 2 years. So all this would result in increased top line over the next 2-3 years.
That's correct. It will take 2-3 years for peak optimization of the capex.
So let's say, you know, 550 crore of capex over FY22 and FY23 should result in at least 700 to 800 crore increase in our top line.
Over the next two, three years.
Yeah. And one broader question, you know, if we look at our company, you know, in past 4-5 years, you know, in FY18, we did almost 1300 crore kind of revenue in our operating margins were around 18.5%. And, you know, in FY22, we touched almost 1900 crore kind of revenue, almost, you know, 35-40% kind of growth we have seen in the top line. Despite that, our margins did not increase significantly. They have remained in the range of, you know, around 18-19%. So, you know, when we achieve, you know, 2800-3000 crore of kind of top line, do you think we can reach to our ambitious target of 22-24% or even 25% kind of EBITDA margins? Because in the past, we haven't seen operating leverage kicking in our business, and our margins haven't increased in line with the increase that we have seen in our top line.
Yeah, Ankit, I mean, as I've been saying consistently in our last few calls as well, we've been spending the last few quarters on real product mix rationalization. And all the new products that we're launching and the new capex that we're doing is at a much higher gross margin, much better EBITDA margin, and a much better asset turns. So the blend, as you said, we should spend 575-580 crores in the last in 2 years. That's at peak utilization that will result in X number, which you mentioned, in that the EBITDA margin of that additional will be significantly higher than our historical EBITDA of 18-19%. So we anticipate the EBITDA to get towards 21-22% in the next couple of years.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That helps. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Pranay Delia with Panchatantra Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Sameer. Good evening, and good evening to everybody else. We are very happy to see that we are back to all-time highest revenue. What is only concerning is margins, which you answered. Just a couple of quick questions on this. What is our total debt as of now this quarter vis-a-vis last quarter?
Yeah, Kuldeep, what can you ask? I mean, 100
crore debt profile at this moment.
I couldn't hear you, sorry.
800 crores, total debt, including
long-term. How much of it is long-term and short-term?
500 crores is the long-term, 300 crores is short-term.
Okay, and what is the cost of funding for long-term and short-term?
We have a cost of funding 8.5% for a long-term and 7% for a short-term.
Okay, and when do we start repaying this debt? Because I believe because of the capex, we are more or less done with the, this is a peak debt, I would assume. So when does the repayment start?
Yeah, so we are already repaying certain loans, which we borrowed 2-3 years back. Whatever loan we have borrowed now will have a 2+6 year moratorium. So we have, every year we are paying loans, repayment of the loans.
So it will be safe to assume this is the peak debt. We are not going to be borrowing more for further capex.
Unless we have the more or less, yes, but unless we have some good projects, we will go for this.
Okay, great. And just to the crop protection as well as pharma, what has been the volume growth we've seen this quarter?
Yeah, 1 second. I just have those numbers on the volume growth. Yeah, our volume growth for crop protection for the company has been about 5%. For pharma, volume growth has been about 20%. For crop, there has been a degrowth in volume of about 18%.
So, crop, we've seen a degrowth in volume 18% and pharma 20% increase.
Crop increase of 20%, pharma degrowth of about 17.5%.
Is this primarily because of the excess stocking with, you know, almost every company? And we, when do we expect this to improve?
So, you know, we expect a couple of more quarters. I mean, I think by quarter one to quarter two of next year, we expect the pharma business volumes to start coming back. And what we're doing in the meantime is, you know, this volume is, even though our volume has gone down by almost more than 17% in pharma, from a value perspective, we've still increased our value. So we've been able to change the product mix. We're looking at more high margin, high value products. Yeah.
And what is the capacity utilization at our manufacturing places?
About 80%.
Across both pharma and
maybe 80-85% depending on the site, in that range.
Okay, great. That answers most of my questions. It's just that our revenues are back to our peak. Our EBITDA margins, as you're saying, will catch up surely within the next quarter, and we'll be seeing EBITDA margin improvement. So we can safely assume that we'll be back to our target, as Hikex had projected 200 crores of cash in the next year and a half.
We're targeting to start coming back. I mean, as I mentioned in the last several calls, we're doing a sequential improvement quarter on quarter. Even this quarter, we've done better than last quarter from our margin and absolute EBITDA, absolute profit. Although revenues were down, we improved our product mix, we did cost optimization. And the new capacities that come on stream from quarter one of next year and quarter two, quarter three will start benefiting next year. And we'll start moving back to our steady state pre-22 margins. We start getting back to that towards from quarter two onwards, I think, next year.
Great. So it's just that we've been out of the $1 billion club for some time. I hope our company regains it very soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Wish you best. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question. Before we take our next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sajjal Kapoor, Independent HNI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a couple of qualitative questions, please. So, many new Indian CRDMO players who were previously focused purely on the human pharma domain are now scaling up their NCE-CDMO in animal as well as agrochemicals, as they have secured firm commitments and commercial contracts from global innovators. So the question is, how do you see this emerging landscape from both the opportunity size, as it's becoming increasingly clear that global innovators are now looking at India as a credible source on a much bigger scale, so that should help Hikel, but also from the competitive landscape perspective, because, you know, if new players are adding animal and agro custom synthesis to their domain and capability, does that not mean increased competitive intensity from these Indian players who were previously not into agro and animal CRDMO, right? So that's one. And secondly, Hikel started the Pune R&D Center for Innovator Synthesis and Generic R&D about 14 years back, I think, in 2009. And yet we have not seen any material traction in the NCE-CDMO segment, as majority of our CDMO revenues today is still come from supplying those off-patent molecules to innovators, versus some of our competitors in India who started this segment of NCE scale-up just about 7-8 years back, and they have demonstrated significant traction in their NCE scale-up and commercial shipment. So why it took us so long to scale up on our NCE CRAMS? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll answer the second one first. I think, if you look at our shift, which has been now, I think there are several new projects in NCE's development and they're getting commercialized. So, I mean, why it happened in the past? I mean, that's also, rather than talking about the past, let's talk about the future. I think the future is very bright. There are several new projects in NCE for both pharma and in crop, where we're developing products which are on patent under for registration and on the animal side as well. So, you know, the future will look very different from the last 10 years or 14 years. And if we started off Pune, it was a CRO, it was not a CDMO R&D site. We were doing contract research for FTE basis. So that was a change in business model about 4 or 5 years ago only we changed the business model of Pune. So yes, you're right, we started in 2009, 14 years ago, but for almost 8 to 10 years, we did CRO work in Pune. And the development only started 4 or 5 years ago. And those projects take time, as you said, 7-8 years, but I think we're seeing a lot of light at the end of the tunnel, and several projects are moving into clinical phase 2 and phase 3, and we're getting some good traction on the customer side. The first question was regarding increased competition, animal and crop. I mean, yes, there are a few players are looking at trying to do both, but, you know, eventually it's about scale and about track record. And we have both for over 20 years.
So there will be increased competition because there is increased outsourcing happening. But we have to have a track record. We've already got these deep customer relationships with our customers, and we've proven that with our multi-year project contract that we signed with a big innovator company. So they will work with companies of size, and you know, we have this. We have all our business, both our divisions are of significant scale now, with a track record of almost 20, 30 years in both. And we have blue chip clients, and they're talking of doing much more with us. Customers are also looking at consolidating their supplier base. While you may be a new entrant in the space, that doesn't mean you are guaranteed business just because you have a plant. You have to have a relationship. You have to have a track record from the FDA. You have to have so many other angles, you know, to get business. And Hycle has ticked the boxes on most of these. And yeah, we are not the only ones in this space, but we are one of the top tier in these two segments, and the third segment with animal. And we'll continue to grow, as so will some of our competitors, and we'll show above industry growth going forward in these segments.
Right, Sameer. So that's helpful. So just to clarify, when I look at our historic gross margins, we have been hovering, we've been pretty flat in this broad range of, 45 to 50% sort of gross margins, whereas we all agree that the innovator NC scale-up margins are significantly better. But I understand that you just mentioned we changed our strategic positioning only 4 or 5 years back. So past is not the right way to look at our gross margins, and future will be significantly better. Can we assume that over the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years, our gross margins will be materially better, even on a blended basis, than what we have been delivering in the past?
That's an absolutely correct statement, because the CDMO business gross margins are significantly better than the generics margins, which we historically had. And our portfolio is changing. And over the next few years, we're doing a dramatic change in product portfolio. And we're looking at optimizing and replacing some of the older molecules with the new generation, high margin products. So, and use our current assets to do that. So the margin profile will undergo significant change in the next 3 to 4 years compared to where we are today.
Right. We all hope so, and wish you guys the very best in terms of execution as we wait and watch. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Kunal with Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question was on crop protection business, right? So you mentioned about volume degrowth, whereas in the last quarter, if I understand correctly, the demand for agrochemicals continues to remain strong for both the CDMO and own product segment. So just wanting to understand, more on the crop protection side and also on the margin side, how should we look at going ahead? That was the first question pertaining to crop protection. The second, also the ongoing CAPEX at Panoli Gujarat, right, if you can help the status of the same, would be upgraded.
I'll answer the first question and hand it over to my Vimal after to answer the second. I think that there is no volume degrowth in crop. The volume degrowth has been in pharma. There's been a significant volume growth in crop actually. So let's just like to clarify that for you, yeah? And the second part of the question, Vimal, if you can take that, please.
So I'll answer that.
Sorry. So I just looked out. So there was a volume growth in the crop, but then the value growth was not there, if I understand correctly. Because, hello?
Yes. That was because of product mix. I mean, it's quarter to quarter. I think we should look at it more from a nine-month basis. From a nine-month basis, our volume and value has both grown for the crop business. It's only a quarter to quarter change.
The number which you mentioned was for 9 months or for a quarter and quarter basis, the volume growth number that you mentioned.
Only for the quarter I mentioned it.
Okay. If you would help with the second part of the question on the CAPEX front.
Yeah, so this we have
completed the mechanical completion, and we have started commissioning of this plant, and we expect to start production from Q1 of FY24. So revenue accrual, okay.
Revenue for this Panoli plant basically would start from Q1 FY24.
Q1 FY24, yeah. And
okay.
Then
and what is the amount that we have spent on this?
So I'll not be able to give you breakup of the spend, but total last year, as Samir has mentioned, we have spent 300 crore capex. I mean this year.
That's the total capex. Anything specific for this particular plant?
Yeah, so split will not be able to give you.
Okay, fair enough. And what is the amount of capex that is yet need to be spent in the current year, or are we done completely with the complete capex and now only maintenance capex will be there?
So we will spend 100 more crore during this quarter four.
Sorry, 100 crores more for this particular financial year?
No, it's all together for the company.
Yes, so 100 crores is yet to be spent, basically is what you mean?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of J. Bharat Trivedi with Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so my first question was regarding the raw material prices. As you rightly said in your initial comments, that the raw material prices have softened and the effect would be seen with a lag in next quarter. So do we have witnessed any price softening impact in current quarter as well?
Well, current quarter not much, because there was inventory, you know, it is a lag effect always. So there was marginal,
So the complete effect would be seen in next quarter, Q4.
Q4 onwards, yeah. Q4 and then Q1 next year even, yeah.
Okay, thanks. And my second question would be regarding the channel inventories in both your pharma and crop protection segment. Can you throw some light there?
Well, pharma channel inventories are still there. They've come down in the last couple of quarters, but we still think it will take one or two more quarters for the channel inventory in the pharma space to build up. On the crop side also, there has been some channel inventory build up. Again, we think about 1 to 2 quarters of correction in inventory demand will be there in the crop business also. But we're de-risking this to a large extent by product mix optimization and increasing the number of products. We have a big basket of products we can move around. So that's how we're ensuring that we try and maintain revenue growth and margin improvement. You know?
Okay, thanks. That's it from my side. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai with Turtle Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi team. So my first question is on this multi-purpose plant that we are putting up for animal health, global animal health provider. If I understand correctly, that will come on stream in Q2 FY24. So will there be a period for stability batches and validation, and how long that will be? So when will the commercial supply start from that plant?
Yeah, I'll hand it over to our head of animal. Anish, if you can take this.
Sure. As you correctly mentioned, yes, there will be a period of validation for the products that we put through, and that will take anywhere between about 11 to 12 months from the date of commissioning the plant.
So the commercial supply will start from FY25 second half. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's a correct assumption, yes.
Okay, got it. Second question is, Anish, we talked about RM prices softening, but how is the trend on realization? Because generally what we have understood is that in a lot of products, the realizations also have come down. So, will it impact our revenue growth objectives in any manner?
For the animal health business or for general
sprayer? No, for both the crop protection and pharma in general.
Look, I mean, as you've seen in crop protection, basically prices have been more or less stable. In pharma business, you've seen some prices come down, especially if you look at, you know, what other companies have also reported. The generic market, primarily in the pharma business, has been pretty shaken up. So the U.S. market has been quite severely affected and prices have come down substantially. Now with the softening of raw materials, it's yet to be seen whether prices remain stable or even further come down. As of now, we're seeing most of the prices holding steady, but we'll see probably by mid to end of next quarter what happens to the prices.
Okay. So in that context, how do we see volume growth both for pharma and crop protection for FY24?
I think for crop protection, I think volume growth is mixed as of now. There are a lot of global macro uncertainties. Yes, we do have contracts in place, but because of the uncertainties, people are reluctant to commit for the entire financial year or the calendar year. So we are seeing some changes, but for the most part, it seems to be intact. I think on the pharma business, it's a little more volatile because of the generic market. From a CDMO perspective, it's definitely more stable than what you see on the generic side. So it's still a work in progress.
Okay. So are you kind of factoring in, you know, 12-15% volume growth for next year or any ballpark number around that?
Yeah, well, at this point in time, we're not giving any future forecasts. Right now, we're just trying to see what the customers are asking for, what's confirmed, and then we'll build out a forecast. So we'll probably have a better idea at the end of Q4.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari with Ariga Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the previous questions, you've answered about the gross margin profile changing more from a direction sense from the next 3 to 5 years. In the past 7 to 8 years, our return on capital employed have been around the mid-teens. How would this change as you are changing the business model more towards higher gross margin products, more NCE products?
Well, I think the return on capital employed will start increasing year on year because the new products and the new capital that were put in place, the ROC targets are much higher than the blended current ROC that the company has been doing historically. So, you know, we are looking at growing up, you know, 16 to 17 to 18% ROC going forward in the next couple of years.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. This is helpful.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta with Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. If you can, Samit, talk about how many molecules on the pharma CDMO side do we do for the innovators? How many of them are commercialized? How many of them are in phase 2 or phase 3?
Yeah, I'll hand it over to Manoj. Manoj, if you can take this answer. Yeah.
We are bound by certain confidentiality agreements with the customers, so it's very difficult for us to give a number how many are in phase 2, how many in phase 3. But by and large, our business model says that we enter into this development more in phase 3 because the HiCal has got manufacturing facilities for higher volumes. And we have several customers who are there in that segment currently. You see them going towards commercialization in 2024-2025.
Yeah. And how many are being currently in commercialized stage? Like how many molecules are we manufacturing which are already approved by phase 3, phase 4?
5 molecules which are already in commercial phase at this point of time. They're all key starting materials and they will ramp up as we go further.
Sure. And on the overall business side, given the uncertainty on the agrochem side, do we still stick to our guidance of mid to high teens kind of growth in FY24?
I think we're not giving any guidance for next year. I think we are waiting and watching.
Sure.
And we'll come back at end of quarter four there's a lot of macro global uncertainties, as I said in my opening remarks. So we're waiting and watching.
Sure. But at least on the pharma side, we are pretty confident of achieving the higher growth numbers that we were targeting earlier, because that hasn't been impacted much compared to agrochemicals.
No, actually, agrochemical hasn't been impacted much compared to pharma. Pharma generic industry has got impacted quite severely this year. But we expect things to start improving from quarter two onwards of next year.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Nishant.
Thank you. A reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj with Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on sequential growth in terms of operating performance. So first question is in terms of the CAPEX. So you indicated in earlier question that till now we have invested about 300 crores and another 100 crores in Q4. That will be close to about 400 crores invested during this year. What kind of asset turns are we looking at from this CAPEX, and how much part of this CAPEX is already converted into revenues during FY23? Thank you.
So the total CAPEX is going to be around 300 crores. So it's not going to be 400 crores. This 100, we currently spend about 200 odd crores for the 9 months, and the balance 100 crores will be spent in the last quarter, to taking your total to around 300, slightly over 300 crores. The peak asset turn that we expect for this is between 1.4 to 1.5, but that takes 2 to 3 years after commercialization. This is basically divided into two major plants. One is the animal health plant, which comes on stream in quarter two, FY24, and the second part is the crop protection multi-purpose asset, which is commissioning this quarter, and commercial production will start from next quarter.
Right. And any guidance on CAPEX for FY24?
It's too early right now when the budgeting process as well. So the priority is now to complete this residual CAPEX that we have, commission our plants and optimize our product mix, and you know, wait and watch from the global environment. We're getting a lot of new inquiries, and we're looking at finalizing some major long-term contracts. And you know, in the meantime, we're debottlenecking our current assets to improve asset turns from our current setup. So it's we're going to wait for a quarter or so before we finalize our large capex. As of now, we want to complete over the next 3 to 4 months all the pending capexes, so that by end of quarter one, all the capexes are completed, and then we start generating revenues and improving our margins and ROCEs. That's going to be a priority for next year. And if a major new contract comes up, then we will look at putting in new CAPEX.
Just to understand a bit better in terms of the conversion of CAPEX into assets. So normally what will be the timeline if, say, some order comes in Q1 FY24, in terms of executing the project and putting the steel on the ground and starting production?
See, typically, between acquiring a business, there's a process development, then there's piloting, and then there's CAPEX. So it takes anywhere between 18 to 24 months after acquiring a contract, depending on the size of the project.
Right. Just one last question. In terms of customer acquisition, any new customer acquisitions which have happened over the last three quarters in pharma as well as agro?
Yeah, there were actually some very exciting customer acquisitions, and unfortunately they are all bound by confidentiality. They are the top blue chip companies in both crop and pharma that we've acquired customers, and we've already got some RFPs and some projects that we started with them. And they're seeing significant traction with new customers that we're acquiring, and there's a lot of audits and customer visits taking place right now at our sites. And when we're in a position to talk more, I'd be happy to talk more about this.
Sure. Thank you so much for answering all the questions and best of luck, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Poji, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The reason for acquiring stakes in solar, I mean, say, instead of buying solar power, you are buying stake in a company who is providing solar solution or something. That was one. And second part is, when are we going to become truly zero affluent company?
Okay,
possibly, which would be in line with your ESG commitments.
Okay, I'll answer that question, one part, and the solar part I'll hand over to my CFO for looking after it. From a zero affluent, our pharma business already is zero affluent in Bangalore. We've already implemented that. Any new projects that we're implementing in our crop and our pharma sites right now are all zero affluent. We're recycling. So over a period of time, our water consumption per kilogram of product being produced is decreasing year on year. And our waste generation also is decreasing year on year. We're monitoring this and we have very strict targets over the next couple of years as part of our ESG initiative that we've taken. So we are moving towards reducing our water carbon footprint and our recycling of our waste to a large, very large extent, and it's a work in progress. And solar is also part of our ESG initiative to increase our renewable energy initiative. And Kuldeep, probably you can explain. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
So I think some, you asked, did you ask a question? Yes. Yeah, Kuldeep, can you take the solar part? Yeah.
So we have signed an agreement with a solar vendor for a 12 megawatt power for our Maharashtra units, which will start giving power by this month.
So it would be replacing your existing power consumption from GEB?
Yeah, definitely. From Maharashtra Electricity Board, definitely.
Okay. So how much of benefits we would be achieving in that?
The payback is very, very, very good. It's less than 1 year, the payback. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
One is the cost and second is the ESG and the carbon footprint. You know, that also is a very big benefit, which is very positively viewed by our customers. And, you know, I'm sure investors also look at that and try to look at the carbon reduction, decarbonization that we're doing.
Okay, and just to add to my first question of zero affluent, zero affluent would mean that no affluence is being given to the third party, what was being done and or what we face the problem.
Yes, yes. So in our pharma side, we've already moved to zero affluent. In our crop sites also, we are moving towards that in a phased manner.
For the new projects.
Yeah.
And for the existing ones?
Sorry, the existing one also, there's a major waste reduction program which has been implemented in the last 9-10 months. And this is a work in progress, and every quarter we're reducing our effluent reduction and our very little is going out to designated authorities. It's reducing quarter on quarter.
And any updates, sir, on the court case?
Anish, if you can take this.
Yeah, so the court case is still ongoing. We won in the Gujarat High Court. We won a positive order in the Gujarat High Court. And right now it's status quo with relation to the Surat incident.
So that matter is over. Does that mean, sir?
It means that the court cases are still going on in the background. That is, basically, dates are being given by the courts as the matter has not come up yet.
Okay, so it's going to linger on for some more time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Indian judicial system as of now, right? It takes time.
And we are not planning to do any provisioning for the same as a prudent measure.
Provisioning with relation to what exactly?
In case any liability arises.
No, not at this time. We are very confident in terms of our case. So at this point in time, we're not doing any provisioning.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hirmat for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining our quarterly earnings call and for your continued interest in the company. FY23 was anticipated to be our year of consolidation. While input prices have begun to soften in terms of pricing, several uncertain macro challenges are still on the horizon. However, we expect the sequential recovery to extend into quarter four. The increase in number of customer inquiries, product mix optimization, cost improvement and business excellence initiatives have put us in a stronger position to remain competitive and win new opportunities, as well as sign on new multinational clients for long-term contracts. I would want to reaffirm all of you that the pipeline is strong and the future is bright for both our businesses. We are certain that we will hit the goals we have been aiming for over the previous quarters. With that, I would like to close this call. Should there be any further questions, please feel free to reach out to us or our investor relations partners, strategic growth advisors. Stay safe, take care, and wish you a very good evening. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Hykel Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.